that working? Oh, there you go. Thank you, Helen. That was a great reading. Thank you. It's complicated, right? Pastor Tom asked you to do some weird stuff sometimes in terms of going back and forth. But this morning we want to continue, and actually this is a milestone. If you've been following along, this is our last sermon in this series. It's been 16, say yay 16. You guys have been enduring for 16 messages from the book of Hebrews, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for us to kind of think about what God has had in store for us in terms of enduring faith and what it means. But yesterday, I'm going to embarrass my son a little bit. We're going to close with this idea. My son was invited to a birthday party, his nephew, or nephew-in-law or something, cousin's child. And little William is really excited about the Patriots right now. Little William had this, you know, one of those gym parties, right? You go to this giant gym, and they played football and stuff like that. And what is his request was that his cousin, his big cousin Josh, wear a football jersey so he could help, like, teach how to play football, because Josh used to play football, right, in high school. And so, you know, it's kind of weird because all of a sudden yesterday morning we're looking for a football jersey, and the only jersey we could find was Lawyer Malloy, which is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right? It wasn't like Brady. It wasn't like one of the more... It was a long time ago, and Josh was a little bit reluctant to wear this Lawyer Malloy shirt, okay? This, you know, New England Patriots jersey. And, you know, so it was like, well, you know, he doesn't really need it. And I said, oh, but he asked for you to come and wear it and da-da-da-da-da-da. He said, no, we just give him money. He'll be fine. He'll be happy. Things like that, right? You know, because we kind of, you know, weasel our way out of what, you know, the little guy really wants. And so eventually Josh relents and he actually goes and wears his jersey, and so he shows up as a New England Patriot-like player. And little William was relatively happy with that when he noticed. I share that because sometimes that's how we are with God, right? God asks us to do certain things, but we say, you know what, Lord, it's a lot easier if we just gave you money on Sunday. It's a lot easier if we put a little offering in the box so that, you know, I did my due, I wrote my check, I did my electronic transfer earlier in the week, and, you know, it's an auto debit, you know, no problem, it's already done. That's what God wants from me, and, you know, the church is always asking for money, and that's all he really wants from me is my money. Well, that's really not what God really wants from us. God actually wants our whole person to be a sacrifice. In Romans it says, a living sacrifice for him. And this morning, as we finish up the book of Hebrews, we've talked a lot about this whole idea of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament and how Jesus is far superior to all of that. And now comes to our response. What is our response? Is it just like putting a little token in the offering bag as it goes by? Or is it something significantly more? And this morning we'll talk about those significant ways in which we will be a daily pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. So we're going to change the title. Instead of pleasing sacrifices to, it's going to be daily pleasing sacrifices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us, that you've given us so much that we might live for you. That it's more than just a few dollars that you want from us. You want our entire lives. And we know that as we give that to you, our lives will be the richer and the fuller, and that we'll experience your goodness and your grace in deeper and deeper measure. Father, we pray that you grant us great faith to continue to follow you and know that your goodness and your love is always for us. Help us, we pray, as we offer daily pleasing sacrifices to you in Christ. Amen. I'm going to switch over if we can. Let's see if it's going to work this morning. And let's go with the duplicate and see if that works. And so as we look upon this, and here we go. Thank you, thank you. We're reminded that as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, we've been really talking a lot about the sacrificial system of old, right? And so as we've gone through the book of Hebrews, much of it has talked about how it is that Jesus is far superior than the Old Testament sacrificial system. And because of that, He is greater than the angel who brought the law. He's greater than Moses, who's the one who actually wrote the law. He's greater than the high priest and the priests of the Old Testament system who kind of functioned in this system. He's greater than the temple that is in this system. He's greater than the high priest that goes in once a year in the system. He's greater than even the sacrifice itself. He is the great sacrifice that replaces this entire Old Testament system. Okay? And so throughout this whole book, we see that because the believers of that time were tempted to go back into the Old Testament Jewish system in order to experience worship and what it means to really worship God. And so now instead, the apostle is reminding them that because they're Christ followers, Christ is far superior than all those sort of mechanical things. These daily worships that would come, they would bring an animal, whether a dove or a goat or a lamb or a bull, into the sacrifice, give it to the priest. The priest would slaughter it, right? All the blood would be drained out. They would go and put it on the altar there to burn up. And once a year, they would go into once a day, they would go into the holy place and replace those things there. And once a year, they would take those offerings, in particular the blood from that offering, and sprinkle it onto the altar, right? And that was what worship looked like. And people would return and do that every day, and sometimes every week, sometimes in festival times, it would be this regular process of bringing offerings, sacrifices of animals to the Lord as a symbol of worship. And today, instead, the author is saying, look, we don't bring those kind of offerings now. We don't bring goats and birds and bulls and lambs to offer to God. Now he wants us to bring ourselves as a living offering and a sacrifice. Verse 15, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect the good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So this whole section is really talking about sacrifices that are pleasing to God, that replaces all of that Old Testament sacrificial system. So this morning, as you look in your outline, there are four things, and don't worry, we're not going to do all four, because we actually already did one last week. Isn't that cool? You already did one, so we're already done with one. Okay? So remember last week we talked, what was the first pleasing sacrifice? Which is the idea of that whole, our spiritual heritage, who we really are. Through brotherly love, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby many have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, and we went on to talk about that, and then we also went on to talk about how in verses 10 through 14, we talk about how coming out of out of the proverbial camp was this imagery of us making primary these spiritual relationships of our spiritual family. So last week we talked about what it is that we can be those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. We call ourselves what last week? Cousins, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to turn to your brother and sister again and say, hi, cuz. One more time. Hi, cuz. Come on. Hi, cuz, right? We thought that last week. This idea that we are brothers and sisters to each other in Christ, and that's the kind of blood that's thicker than water. That is the blood relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. So we talked about that last week. Our spiritual family, and how because of that we are to be hospitable to strangers, people we don't know. And so hopefully you mingled a little bit more during our passing the peace. Hopefully I've gotten more invitations this week, so some of you guys were listening. And there's more hospitality being extended. And the idea that primacy of relationships needs to be within the family of Christ. So we need primary relationships that are within the family of Christ, and not only those outside. Okay? So, check one off. We're moving. Yes? You guys like it when I move faster. Okay. But this week we're going to talk a little bit about marriage. This is one of the more recent marriages, the marriage of the decade. That's the Duke and Duchess of, who knows? Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, England. Right? Cambridge, that's Kate and Prince William there, and they got married. Now they have a baby, and maybe there's more on the way. I don't know. I'm tabloids. I don't know. I know. But the idea is that the daily pleasing sacrifices that God desires from us is sexual fidelity and purity. Sexual fidelity and purity. Let marriage be held in honor among all. and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the spiritually immoral and adulterous. This morning we're going to talk, and this is a hard one, right? We all know that much of our society runs, that sex sells, and we use sex to sell everything from potato chips to beer to cars to everything in between. We use sex itself. And what happens is that we don't even surprise anymore. You know, there's this trial that's happening in South Africa, right? Where the Blade Runner, right? This is Oscar Pistorius, right? He's an amputee, and he actually ran in the Olympics with these prosthetic limbs, and he was a hero of South Africa. Then just last year, all of a sudden, this weird thing happened, and now he's being accused of murder with his longtime girlfriend Ariva Stenkamp. Okay, she was a beautiful actress, and started to kind of become a starlet in her own right in South Africa, and it was a horrific kind of situation and all these things, and he's in court now. Now, what's really, kind of sad is sad that she was murdered and killed so brutally, but no one even seems to matter that, they were actually sleeping together and they weren't married, and so it doesn't even matter anymore, that part, right? It's just a reflection of our society and where we've gone, that the marriage covenant is no longer valued by very many people, right? That what happens is that we do not honor marriage as much as we used to. And so these are the kind of situations that happen. What we need to do here, I think what's the command here is, let the marriage be held in honor among all. What does that look like? I think it looks like, for us, it means that we need to honor marriage's purposes, processes, and boundaries. And so just quickly, we're actually going to launch an entire series starting after Easter and things like that on spirituality and marriage and sexuality. And so I'm not going to go all into that, except simply to say that this is a huge issue for us in our day and space, that we need to be those brothers and sisters in Christ who really honor marriage, recognize its purposes. It's not just to to have this happy feeling. It's not just to have sexual fulfillment anytime you want. It's not just to be socially accepted among others, especially if you're from Asian descent, right? Marriage has a much deeper purpose. And the purposes include God's purpose, which is outlined in Genesis